Our text for tonight's study is found in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2. I want to begin our reading at verse 25 and read through verse 35. We'll read this text and then we'll come back to it just in a little bit in our study. But to familiarize yourself with the text and the subject matter under consideration, we'll begin by reading the text. In Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 25 and reading in the New King James Version, Luke records, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see or experience death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.' At the time our Lord was born in Bethlehem of Judea, every Jew regarded his own nation as the chosen people of God. They also knew that by human means their nation would perhaps never attain the world's greatness that they believed was a part of their destiny. And so most of them believed that because the Jews were the chosen people of God, they were bound someday to become masters of the world. To bring in that day, some believed that a great victory would come about. Some believed that there would arise another king after the lineage of David. And all the glories that pertain to David's reign would be revived during that time period. Some believed that God himself would break forth on human history by supernatural means and bring all of this and all the promises that he had made to Israel to pass. But then in contrast to those Jews, there were some other Jews whom Barclay refers to in his commentary on the Gospel of Luke as the quiet of the land. Those Jews who had no dream of violence or armies or powers of armies with chariots and soldiers bringing about the promises of God through a Messiah who was to come. But they believed in a life of constant prayer and quiet watchfulness until God would send his long-awaited Messiah. And then all their lives that they had waited quietly and patiently on God would come to pass in the consolation of Israel coming about, and the salvation the Messiah would bring. The prophets had often spoken about this comfort that was coming to Israel. Isaiah 40 in verse 1, comfort? Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Isaiah 49 in verse 13, sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. Isaiah 52 and in verse 9, break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Even though some of these things are spoken in the present tense, as the Lord has comforted his people, this is actually that which is being spoken of in the future that is to come. Isaiah the prophet speaks as though it has already taken place because it is so sure and so certain. It will happen the comfort or consolation of Israel will come. Salvation of God will be made known to all peoples of all nations. After the birth of Jesus, when the days of Mary's purification was ended, Joseph and Mary brought the infant Jesus to Jerusalem when he was about 40 days of age. They did this in order to make a sacrifice that was required by the law of Moses after the birth of Jesus for the purification of Mary herself. We read about this in Leviticus chapter 12, verse 1 and following. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and bore a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. As in the days of her customary impurity, she shall be unclean. And on the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her customary impurity, and she shall continue in the blood of her purification 66 days. Now, why the difference? I have no idea. Verse 6, Leviticus 12. When the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether for a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who has bore a male or a female. And if she's not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. One as a burnt offering and the other as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her and she will be clean." We learn in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 22 and following, that Mary and Joseph must have been poor because they offered the sacrifice of the poor. In Luke 2 and in verse 22, "Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. So it indicates that they must have been relatively poor, for they did not offer a lamb. Instead, they offered a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. While in the temple, they met an old man named Simeon then. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He was a just and devout man. But note this, he waited for the consolation of Israel. He waited for the comfort of Israel to come. The comfort that the prophet spoke of, that was going to come to the nation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he learned by the Holy Spirit that it had been revealed to him and that he would not see death or experience death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the long-awaited Messiah who was to come. Simeon was one of these whom, as I mentioned earlier, Barclay referred to as the quiet of the land. Evidently, Simeon, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, before the apostles ever come on the scene, has more knowledge concerning the coming Messiah than it seems as though later on the apostles had, as we'll note in this text tonight. So as he is waiting on the consolation of Israel to come, they bring the Christ to him. By inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he recognizes and realizes that, and he would not experience death until he saw the Lord's Christ. I guess he's waiting to die, but he knows that he's not going to die until he sees the Messiah. Verse 27, Luke 2. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed or praised God." And this is what he said when he praised God. "Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace, He's got the infant Jesus in his arms. He knows automatically, evidently by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that he's going to depart in peace. He'll die in peace now, having seen the Lord's Christ, the long-awaited Messiah. Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. Know this, according to your word, the word that he came by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You'll not die. You'll not experience death until you see the Lord's Christ. You're going to see him in person. And on this occasion, he did. Our study tonight involves what did Simeon see when he took the infant child in his arms? What did he see on this occasion? Well, this is what he saw. He saw salvation. Think about it. He's got the infant Jesus in his arms. He looks upon him. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Simeon's eyes had seen the salvation of the Lord. He had seen the salvation of God. The salvation of God was right there in his hands. The Lord Jesus Christ. Though Jesus was but 40 days of age, Simeon recognized Jesus as the one who would bring salvation to all men. And this is exactly what the angel had announced earlier to Joseph, is it not? Matthew 1 and verse 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For here's the reason that his name is going to be called Jesus. Yahweh is salvation. That's what Jesus means. For he will save his people from their sins. So he sees salvation. That's what he sees. Salvation in Christ Jesus. He's holding him in his hand. As a matter of fact, Zacharias, the father of John the Baptizer, was told that John the Baptizer would make ready a people prepared for the Lord's coming, for the Messiah's coming. Luke 1 and verse 17. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's what John the Baptizer would do. Notice the blessings of Zechariah that he pronounces in Luke 1 in verse 67 and following. Now his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed or liberated his people. He has, not yet, but he is, but yet he speaks as though it's already done. And he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, speaking of John the Baptizer, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. John spoke of the salvation of Christ and the salvation that he would bring. In Matthew 3 and in verse 1 and following, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. A fulfillment of Isaiah 43 and in verse 3 in regard to John the Baptizer. So what did Simeon see? When he had the infant Jesus in his arms, he saw the salvation that had come to the nation of Israel. He was bringing redemption. The long-awaited Messiah had come. What did Simeon see when he looked upon the infant Jesus? He saw the fulfillment of prophecy as well. The fulfillment of prophecy. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared, ordained before the face of all, note this, all peoples. Not just the Israelite people, not just the Jewish people, before the face of all peoples, Jews and Gentiles. It's amazing that Simeon seemed to know more than Peter, perhaps, as he had to be instructed to go to the house of a Gentile and then convert him. And then those who were members of the church had to accept, in God's plan, salvation for the Gentiles. But Simeon seems to recognize that the Messiah to come wasn't only going to provide comfort just to Israel, but he was going to be a comfort to all mankind. When we read about the consolation of Israel, maybe the consolation or comfort that would come to spiritual Israel, to all the people of God. The Jewish scriptures were known among all nations. All nations and all people were acquainted with the Hebrews and the scriptures that had been given to them by God that expected a Messiah to come. Simeon saw the initial steps of God's fulfillment in that as he looked upon the infant Christ. After his resurrection, Jesus spoke to men on the road to Emmaus concerning the prophecies contained regarding him in the Old Testament scriptures in Luke 24 and in verse 25. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then inspired preachers, apostles, prophets of the first century went about then, making reference to all the prophecies that Christ fulfilled. In Acts 2 and in verse 25, Peter said, For David says concerning him, that is concerning the Christ, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For I will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will I allow your Holy One to see corruption. For you have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence, as Peter quotes from the psalmist. In Acts 2 and verse 18, Peter said, But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all of his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has fulfilled. What did Simeon see when he looked upon the infant Jesus? The fulfillment of all prophecy for all mankind, for all peoples. Paul said in Galatians 4 and in verse 4, But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. What did Simeon see? He saw salvation. He saw the fulfillment of prophecy. He saw light that had come to bring revelation to the Gentiles. That's what he saw. Luke 2 and in verse 32, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. That would be news to Peter and the other apostles later on, would it not? But Simeon, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, already knew that. It was not something that just took place in the mind of God later on after the church came into existence. It was already in the mind of God that Jesus Christ would be a light, like a lantern, to give revelation to the Gentiles. Prior to the coming of Christ, the world, though, was in darkness, a symbol of ignorance and sin and misery. Christ would bring all nations, both the Hebrew or Jewish nation as well as to the Gentiles, light, that is life, knowledge, happiness. And this is probably a reference here in Luke 2 and in verse 32 to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 49 and in verse 6. Indeed, he says, that is God says, it is too small a thing that you, note the you is capitalized, should be my servant. He's speaking of the Christ, the Messiah, his servant. It is too small a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, to restore the perverse ones of Israel. So it's too small a thing. That's not enough. Let's do something else. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Why was it that the early Christians had a problem with Gentiles being saved? When they had Old Testament scriptures that spoke of the Messiah that was not only going to save Israel, not only going to be a comfort or consolation for the nation of Israel, but for the Gentiles as well. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Isaiah 51 and verse 4. Listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation. For law will proceed from me, and I will make my justice rest as a light of the peoples, plural. Isaiah prophesied that the Gentiles would actually seek the Messiah. They would seek the Christ who was to come. Isaiah 11 and verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Christ's light revealed, his revelation revealed God to the Gentiles. That Simeon should prophesy this is evidence of the large spiritual knowledge that had been given to him by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You'll not experience death until you see the Lord's Christ. He had a great deal of knowledge concerning the Messiah who was to come and what would come about. It's kind of amazing that others did not have that knowledge when the church came into existence. But they did. They were just the quiet of the land. They recognized and realized, I guess you might say, they were that remnant of God who had always remained faithful and true to him and understood the prophecies that had been made. Christ had a mission. His mission was not just a consolation or comfort of physical Israel, but all mankind who would find hope and blessings in Christ are in him. The psalmist said in Psalm 98 in verse 2 in our reading tonight, that Rick did such a good job of it. He read loud so everybody can hear. Sometimes people with a good voice, you can't hear because they don't read loud enough. Rick's doing a better job every time he reads. The Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations, plural. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. All the ends of the earth, as referenced all people. Christ had a mission to save all mankind, to provide comfort or consolation to all mankind. Isaiah 52 and in verse 10, the Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. Just as Simeon saw the salvation of God in the infant Jesus, all people would see salvation in Christ Jesus. There was something else that Simeon saw on this occasion as he looked upon the infant Jesus, and that is he saw the glory of Israel. He saw the glory of Israel. That is the glory that had come to Israel. Luke 2 and in verse 32 again, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. As he looked upon the infant Christ child, he saw the glory of God's people Israel. Jesus was the glory of the Israelites. Think about it. God had allowed Jesus to come as an Israelite, as a Jew, for the Jewish nation. That brought glory to the nation of Israel itself. God in the flesh had come among the people of the world, but he had come as a Jew. He had come as an Israelite. He saw the glory of God's people, Israel. When he looked upon the infant Christ child, he saw the glory of Israel in the Christ child. God in the flesh. But he also saw, as a Jew, Jesus being perfect humanity. Not only was he perfect deity, that is, God in the flesh, came as a Jew, but he came as a perfect man, as a perfect sacrifice for the sins of mankind. He lived a perfect life. Can't be said of a Gentile, but there was a Jew who lived a perfect life. As people speak bad about Jews and have for centuries, no man has ever lived a perfect life save a Jew. In his humanity, he was a man who was perfect. In his deity, he was God who was perfect. What did Simeon see? He saw the glory of God's people Israel when he looked upon the infant Christ child. The angel told Mary about the rule of Christ in Luke 1 and verse 30 and following. When the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest." Term for the Son of God. A term for deity himself. "And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Notice what Paul told the Jews in Antioch of Pisidia regarding this one. We've been studying in Acts about Antioch of Syria, but this is Antioch of Pisidia, as Paul visited in that city on his first evangelistic journey in Acts 13 in verse 42. "So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul." Why? Because he was preaching what the Old Testament prophets had been preaching. Salvation has not come to the Jews only, but to the Gentiles as well. We have Jewish unbelievers in the first century who did not know the Scriptures. They simply did not know their own Scriptures. They rejected the salvation of the Gentiles. And all the time, the prophecies concerning the salvation of the Gentiles were clear in the Scriptures and clear in the minds of some even before the church came into existence. And so they blasphemed and they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first," that is, to the Jews first. "But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, 'I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth.'" Whom did God first say that? He said it to his servant, Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one who was to come. "I have set you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." Isaiah 42 and in verse 6, "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles." But yet the Jews did not know it. What did Simeon see? He saw the glory of Israel. The glory of Israel in the infant Christ child. Before Simeon said a word and he took up the infant into his arms, can you imagine how that godly man felt at that moment? What a privilege he had. Remember, he would not experience death until he saw the Lord's Christ, the long-awaited Messiah. What a privilege he had indeed. But yet our privilege need not be inferior to his. Jesus said, if a man will love him and keep his word, then he and his Father will come in and make their abode with him. John 14 and verse 23. If anyone loves me and he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That is, they'll come to have fellowship with him. That is, God will be in us, Christ will be in us, we'll be in a relationship with him, we'll be in a union and fellowship with him. We'll all have association with one another. The wise man said in Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 8, all things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. You know, the ear is never satisfied with hearing. As a matter of fact, the more we hear, the more we want to hear. As we get older and we can't hear as much, what do? Well, we'll go purchase a device that helps us hear because we want to hear more. The eye is never satisfied with seeing. What we see is not enough. We want to see more and we want to see more. To one who has Christ in his arms and salvation before his eyes, though, the world looks poor indeed. Does it not? Think about the blessing that Simeon had. He had the infant Christ child in his arms, and he looked upon him and he saw salvation in that infant Christ child. What more would you want to see? But yet, the eye is not satisfied with seeing. But once we've seen Christ, the anointed one of God, the long-awaited Messiah, with the eye of faith, we ought to be satisfied. Because what does the world have to satisfy the eye? Christ can satisfy the longing that you have. When you look upon him through the eye of faith, you look upon salvation for your soul. Paul said in Philippians 1 and verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Can we say what Paul said, that death is gain? We can only say that death is gain if we can say what he said about life. To live is Christ. To live is Christ. There's no gain in death if you do not live for Christ in this life. He brings salvation. What a blessing indeed to be redeemed of our sins and have salvation in Christ Jesus through an obedience to his will. The lesson is yours. If you're here tonight, not a Christian, our desire is that you would become one through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of your sins. You seek salvation or you wouldn't be here. Why put it off if you're seeking salvation? If you're seeking an eternal home in heaven, why put it off? If you're not here to worship the true and the living God and to live a life that is faithful to him, why be here? Simeon would live and see the Christ. He would not experience death till he saw the Christ. Though you may never render obedience to Christ in this life, one day you will see him come the day of judgment. And then you'll recognize your loss of salvation. Because he won't come as a Savior. He did that the first time. He will come in judgment on the ungodly and the disobedient. If you're a child of God, having rendered obedience in times past, repent. Confess that sin. We'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.